We're going to talk renewable energy now. There was a number of announcements made yesterday with regards to electricity auctions, future electricity auctions for power generation here in Kerry. The company behind plans for a liquid natural gas terminal in North Kerry is to receive state funding to provide electricity for 10 years. Shannon LNG, a subsidiary of New Fortress Energy, applied to Umbro Pinola, of course, for permission to build a power plant in the Tarba Valley Longford Land Bank in 2021. And they have been granted, AirGrid has now confirmed the company will receive state funding to provide electricity to the grid for a period of 10 years, starting in 2026. Should the LNG terminal get planning permission, this would be two gas-fired power generators on the land bank. Separate to that, SSC Airtricity Thermal has been granted or had won a bids in an auction to develop two new low-carbon power stations in Tarbert, which they say will help protect security supply and provide flexible backup to renewable generation sites in Tarbert in County Kerry. Biofuel would be the power for those generators, a lower carbon option for use in power stations using waste feedstocks to produce valuable, flexible electricity, and an important transitionary solution as plans for a greener and greater use of hydrogen and carbon capture are developed. And also announced yesterday was that SSE Airtricity had applied for a foreshore investigative license for an offshore wind farm off the coast of Tarbert. I spoke in detail in relation to this to Martin Sweeney, SSE Renewables lead project manager for Blue Seas Development. I first have asked him about the project.
Yeah, so the foreshore license we submitted is a license to allow us to investigate the area off the Kerry coast there at Tarbert for an offshore wind farm. The way the legislation is currently structured, we can only apply for a license up to the 12 nautical mile limit until a new regulatory authority is established. So we see this as part of our ongoing story and ongoing development of the Tarbert area. You know, there's been a power station there for some time now, and that's coming towards the end of its life. And we see the offshore wind farm as something that can leverage off that existing asset there.
And look, is there a timeline on this? It's an investigative license you're looking for, and I know you mentioned the regulatory situation, which is developing all the time, but is there timelines involved?
Well, like, the license has been submitted, and typically we'd hope to hear something from the foreshore unit within sort of 9 to 12 months. The regulatory regime that we have in Ireland, the government has set out a pathway through their phase two offshore wind policy statement there, and they're looking for delivery of these projects by 2030. The expectation is that the project that we're developing will use floating technology, and the aim is to have this project in development by 2030. You know, if we were to secure foreshore licenses within the next 12 months, you know, we would probably start investigations of the site in late 2024.
And following on from there, you develop it in stages from that point. Is it your first license on the West Coast? Is that right?
Yeah, this is our first license on the West Coast that we're developing. We have other projects on the East and South Coast that are much more advanced than this project. But I suppose, you know, when you look at the West Coast of Ireland, the water gets very deep very quickly. The area we're investigating is you know, around 100 metres deep. So the technology there that we're looking potentially for this site would be floating technology that was still in development.
Okay. So no fixed place, let's say, because of the territory, because of the depth of the water, because of the conditions. You're talking floating terminals.
Yeah, we're looking for floating turbines at the moment. But, you know, we've been developing offshore wind farms for nearly 20 years. We've been operating for over a decade now. And what we've seen during that time is that the water we've been able to deploy fixed bottom turbines in has got deeper and deeper. An example of that now is our Sea Green project off the Angus coast in Scotland there. When we were awarded the license for that project in 2010, the license to the seabed, the water depths we were being deployed in was 30 metres. That project is just finishing construction at the moment now, and it's almost 60 metre deep water. So we see the investigation license off Tarbert for floating technology at the moment, but we also are cognizant that the fixed technology will develop. Whether or not it develops to these depths, we're yet to see.
Yeah, that's a movable target, I suppose, when you look at it that way. And the reason for picking this site off the coast of Tarbert, is it because of the legacy there? Is it because of the land bank? The power station that was there, that would be the point of contact for sure, for both, I suppose, maintenance development and also, I suppose, bringing the power online and bringing it onto the national grid?
Yeah, it's a multifaceted selection process that we go through. You know, we have the existing land bank, as you say there, at Tarbert. We have the existing assets there. We have the jetty. And then offshore, we have a resource. You know, when we're selecting the offshore site, we're looking at water depth, ground conditions, geology, you know, fishing grounds, shipping routes, etc. So we put all that together, and that's where we select this project from.
Okay. And Martin, in terms of, you mentioned timelines there, what would you like to see as SSE, the government, doing to maybe perhaps facilitate or speed up the process of the development of these types of projects, particularly when it comes to the planning process, I suppose, and the lengthy lead-in time that can be there?
Yeah, like, we are seeing action by the government in accelerating the deployment of offshore renewables. And what we'd really like them to do is to look at other markets where they've successfully deployed huge amounts of offshore wind. Our nearest neighbours in the UK are one of the world leaders in offshore wind, and they have a very very stable regulatory regime and a very well-known and understand process. And really, by utilising what other markets have done, we can do that. What also the government can do is that they can designate what are called DMAPs, designated marine area plans, to say that this area is suitable for renewables. Currently, the government are only proposing to, at this time, to propose two locations, one off the south and one off the southeast coast, of 400 megawatts each. We'd really ask the government at this stage to explore and to promote further areas. To develop an offshore wind farm typically takes about 10 years. So for us to meet our 2030 targets, we really need to move now, designate more DMAPs than we need, because certain areas, as we investigate them, as we go through the development process, we'll discover that they're not suitable, or they're not as suitable as we'd first expected.
Why wouldn't an area be suitable, Martin?
Multiple of factors, Jerry. Could be anything from ground conditions, could be no available grid, could be some form of ecology, something in the environment that doesn't suit. Could even be that there's no port facility that's suitable close by.
With that in mind, Martin, what does Kerry as a county need to do to get ready? We have a number of ports. Obviously, Foynes is there from Limerick and Kerry, the Kerry border. There's the land bank. There's Phoenix as well, a smaller operation, perhaps maybe for more maintenance. But what does the Kerry County Council need to do to get ready for companies like yours to develop these projects?
Yeah, it's, you know, Kerry is got a huge opportunity on the western seaboard for offshore renewables. There's lots of different elements that Kerry can do to get ready for this, from in the county development plans that they're updated and reviewed to make allowances for offshore wind farms coming ashore, and designating areas for onshore O&M bases, etc. But even then, within that, where that power comes ashore, there's industrialization opportunities. So to really take all the benefit that's available there in the Atlantic for offshore wind, we really need to think long term, not be thinking in 5 years, but thinking in 10 years time, that if we have all this offshore energy, what can we do with it? What industry can we put into the county?
Yeah, and look, there is courses now starting up and training courses for wind turbine technicians, obviously marine operators as well. Any courses for that? I suppose train people locally who live locally to work and take advantage of the employment opportunities.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, when we're selecting an O&M base, the key criteria we're looking there at is how quickly can we get technicians from the land to the turbines to maintain these turbines, to get them up and running and back online as quick as we can. So proximity to the turbines is the key factor there. So for a wind farm off Kerry is going to be the most the closest area. So it's so important just to be close to the turbines.
Yeah, Martin, final question for you. What would you say to some people who would have reservations or opposition to floating terminals? We've seen the impact in some communities and the concerns expressed on onshore wind, and that's been with us for the last while. What would you say to someone who would have concerns, either environmental or aesthetic or otherwise, when it comes to offshore?
Yeah, I suppose the difference between an onshore and offshore wind farm is the proximity that people are to the turbines. The offshore structures are much further away, but they are much, much larger structures. And through the development process, we will be conducting, you know, a very thorough environmental impact assessment. And from that, we will assess the impact on various elements. But I suppose, you know, you can say all you want and you can give all the positives to somebody about a project and about what it's going to give, but they just don't like it. But what we need to look at here is that offshore wind offers to Ireland's local communities a sustainable source of energy, that Ireland, we can supply our own energy for Ireland, but then also for potential export markets.
The benefits that flow from that. Martin, listen, look, thanks very much for giving us an outline of the project. We'll see where it goes from here, but thanks for talking to me this morning.
Thanks, Jerry.